We're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the only motorcycle road racing podcast that answers the question. What's the question, Ed?
I have no idea.
Michael, I think the question is 9 times 6 is not, what is 9 times 6?
I thought the question was, what is the meaning of life?
It is.
It's and 40,
the,
40.
The answer is 40. 42.
42, right.
Right.
Not 46, because that's crazy guy's number. It's 42.
Oh.
Yeah, are we lucky that worked out that way?
Oh, my God. By the way, I've got a great two-minute board on that topic.
Okay, good.
That's awesome.
Because your other two-minute board,
No, dude. Yes.
What's your name?
I'm Michael Gugis. You can find my insane rantings at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com.
That must mean that I'm Ed Sorbo, and you can find me at le-suspension.com, which is Lindemann Engineering. And he is Tony Serra. Once again, the Tony Serra. Only one, right?
Exactly.
Bad News Travels Fast is his logo.
That's awesome. On his t-shirts.
Yeah, which I'm wearing and you're not.
You know what?
Tony Serra Racing t-shirt.
I'm the only guy in here in leathers.
It's true, you are in leathers.
You know, so yeah. That
so
counts for something.
So why are you in leathers?
Because we're at a track day.
We're at Auto Club Speedway with Fast Track.
Right.
What day is it?
It's November, Saturday, right after Thanksgiving. November 28th.
Having
it's
a nice
cold.
Track day. It's chilly. When the wind stops, it's really nice.
Right.
It's just the wind chill
the
factor.
The wind hasn't stopped.
Yep.
Right.
53.
Yep. Right. Episode 53.
Which
right?
is really episode 54 because there was the 40-something point one.
The issue.
Yes.
We had the issue. Tony's laughing. Tony gets to sit in because he sent us, I think, the biggest box of Hickory Farms of anybody.
They were all the same size.
Were they all the same size?
Yeah. Yep.
Tony gets to sit in because Tony is Tony.
Tony said he's joining us. We said, yes, sir.
Absolutely. Tony Serra is our hero, just in case we're not clear about that.
That's right.
Okay.
Of course, my claim to fame is being old, you know, so.
You don't need more of a claim to fame than being the world's oldest fast guy.
Exactly.
So. By the way, did we say you could speak, old man?
No, we totally wanted him to talk.
No one else has ever been on the show except Tony for a year. Tony's the first guy allowed to talk.
And Tony might be the only guy we allow to talk.
I'm serious.
Absolutely. Yep. Tony gets to do whatever he wants.
Well, what are the rules that I'm supposed to observe?
We don't have any rules. Please, exactly.
You know, we make them up.
And any rules that we had completely got obliterated when your package of Hickory Farms showed up,
right,
dude.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Who was the guy? Oh, God. Todd Berry, comedian. He says,
Never met him.
I don't allow people to smoke in my apartment. He said, let me rephrase that. I don't allow men to smoke in my apartment. A woman can barbecue a goat in my apartment.
Hey, so I was doing math, working out spring rate formulas the other day.
Right.
And I thought of something, and I did a little more math and checked, and I determined that in the Road Racing World story about Josh Hayes' R1 that they just did, they had the decimal in the right spot when they said 11.5. And the reason is, it's 11.5 Newton meters, which is the way Ohlins talks about spring rate.
Right.
And if you convert 11.5 Newton meters to kilograms per millimeters, you get 1.17, virtually the same thing. So the mistake was not where the decimal point was. The mistake was in omitting what scale we're talking about.
Right.
So I wanted to correct my correction.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah,
like that, but that's the Ohlins guys, right? They have to use their own special language.
So when you figure out spring rates, when you first do it from scratch, you get Newton meters.
Right.
And then the next step would be to convert to whatever,
right,
which everybody else does, but Ohlins just leaves it at Newton meters. And, you know, it's fine. It's just that...
They're special.
Well, you know, the world is full of too many ways of measuring stuff.
Absolutely.
There's a video I saw from that guy that does science, some kind of...
Bill Nye, the science guy?
Not that guy, but along those lines.
Another science guy.
Bunch of science moment things, right?
Okay.
And it's hilarious because he starts out in whatever scale. A foot is equal to 12 inches, which is equal to... And I think they're doing it on weights of things.
He's
got bushels and then... And it's a list of 15 measuring things I've never heard of.
Right?
Right? And he goes all the way around and comes back, and that's equal to whatever he started with. It's just mind-blowing that we managed to come up with so many stupid ways to measure
shit. But try to convert from miles to kilometers and watch what happens.
Yeah.
Freaking commie.
This is just... Yeah, right. Just another example of the confusion that can... You know, there was actually a spacecraft that was lost because of this.
What?
The two divisions of this company... the people doing work, and this is American craft.
Okay.
And these guys thought, yeah, of course we're using the metric system. And the other guys are like, of course we're using the English system. And neither side checked. And so the thing was only off by this tiny amount. But by the time the thing travels a fucking quarter of a light year, like totally missed the planet or whatever. And for real, that was the mistake, that they were not using the same scale. Unbelievable.
Hey, you know what they say about assumptions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the more expensive your spacecraft, the more expensive the errors are.
Wow. Hey, you know what? Try doing what I do for a living, which is writing test questions. You think it's perfectly clear.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You think there's no way they can misinterpret this. Yeah. And then you get this, like, bleh. And then, you know what the worst part is? When you send it to the print shop, and the print shop guy is handing it back to you going, you know, question number 2 is all fucked up, dude. And I'm like, what? You don't even take in my class. He's like, yes, but I watch SportsCenter, and I know. Oh, God. And the worst part is he's right.
You know how when you have a question and you go up to the person who's administering the test?
Right.
Right? It's a multiple choice question. And it's like, both of these could be right or whatever, right?
Okay.
And you know how the guy always say, the correct answer is there. You just need to reread it. Don't try so hard. And you're like, God damn it. That's it, right? I've had to be the guy saying that.
Yep.
When the person comes up there and says, I'm like, dude, you're reading too much into it.
And
I'm trying so hard. Just pick the most correct answer and relax. Go on to the next one.
Ed, you know how we always say on this broadcast, Ed, you're a genius?
We do say that a lot.
We do say that a lot.
Yes, it's true.
Ed, this time, I'm the genius.
Because you got a better answer for those
guys? No. This time, I'm totally changing topics.
Oh, okay.
No transition, no nothing. Just boom, new topic. Okay, so.
We oppose segues here.
Exactly. Yes. No transitions
whatsoever. We don't use them for topics or for motivated transportation.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, but go on with what you were saying.
And many of our eagle-eyed...
And give me those before you make
many of our noise. Our eagle-eyed listeners, and try that for a mixed metaphor. Eagle-eyed listeners, right here. I'd pat myself on the back, but I'm in full armor.
You're in your legs, right. Can't reach.
Okay, some of our eagle-eyed listeners pointed this out. The very podcast in which I said Suzuki needed to bring back the SV650 dropped on the day that Suzuki announced that they were bringing back the
SV650. I'm impressed by how quickly they built that new version of the bike with a steel frame in 24 hours.
Here's the problem.
I'm disappointed with the steel frame.
They weren't listening carefully enough, or I'm not too big to say I might have been at fault here for not being specific enough. Okay, they brought back the naked bike first, which isn't the one we need.
Oh, I like that one. I would have just brought it back with the same frame they already had.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I previously said steel frame to save money, but when you've already got the aluminum frame made, why remake a new frame?
It's just a Gladius with a different sticker on it.
How much does the thing cost?
$59.99, something like that. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good, it's cheap, and I'm happy that all that's
out there. Well, you know, I was talking to a friend about this the other day,
right? You have a friend?
A lot of them, more than you. Technology that we have for transportation is at the point where, let's imagine that you live somewhere in the greater LA area.
Okay.
Or in any metropolitan suburb, and you need to drive, 30 miles or so to work every day.
Right.
Back and forth. And you need to putt around and get groceries and shit on weekends.
Okay.
Okay, well, we can build the perfect car for you. We got all the technology.
Right.
Right? We got it. Stamped steel frame chassis, we got, you know, whatever size wheels are, we got disc brakes, all four, we got airbags, we got a reliable four-cylinder engine that starts instantly and fuel injection that works if you drive it from sea level to the top of Pike's Peak. The thing is indestructible, it's relatively inexpensive, we don't need to invent any new stuff.
Right.
And the same is true of motorcycles. If you just want a perfect commuter motorcycle, you got 400 choices.
Right.
You know, and we don't need to invent anything new about that. So I wonder... Right, in the sport bike world, well, you're always going to be able to have smaller and smaller and smaller increments to get better. But we should be able to start reducing the price.
We should be. The problem is nobody... I did this once at a gear intro. I went to somebody's
riding gear.
Riding gear intro. And I had a jacket from this company. And I went and I looked at their new stuff, and there was a new version of the jacket. So I asked the rep, I'm like, what's different about the jacket? He's like, nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, so why'd you go through the trouble of redesigning it? And he said, everybody who wants a jacket like the one that you have, Michael, already owns it.
Yeah.
And so you just got to change the look of it, which is really a problem when what you have designed looks awesome.
So that's true of all those people that are totally involved into that thing. But for the regular person, right? Let's say I don't give a shit about cars, right?
Okay.
So I need a commuter car. So
right.
I buy a commuter car.
Right.
And 10 years later, I want a new commuter car.
That
what do I need
is,
a different commuter car for? Just
you
give me the same damn
you
thing.
You can't sell a car to somebody every 10 years.
Yeah.
That's your problem. Ed, here's another reason that I'm a genius. Even more eagle-eyed listeners of this podcast.
Who said he's a genius?
I said I'm a genius.
Oh, okay.
And Tony's nodding, so therefore.
Well, he's agreeing that you said it. He's not agreeing that you are.
You know what?
Go on.
Our words shape our reality.
Ask
any semiotician. Where was I? Right. I think it was episode 3 or 4. We were doing it outside of your shop when the police helicopter came over.
That was more like in the 15 range. But
okay.
Go on.
But we were talking about the winter edition Rossi helmets and how what a genius that guy was in terms of marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And I had said, some of the testing.
Somebody go back, find that episode, tell us which one it was. We'll see if Michael was right or I was
correct.
Right.
We were talking about how cool some of the test bikes looked during the off season.
Yep.
Carbon,
so who's
raw
doing
carbon
cool stuff
fiber.
There. Well, raw carbon fiber, right?
Always is cool,
like,
right?
Why don't
paint
all
it?
The bikes?
Why
yeah.
paint it, right?
You know the carbon fiber fender on the front of my TZ250?
Yes.
The Rhino fender?
Mm-hmm.
The only carbon fiber Rhino fender in the world.
Okay.
Okay? Was always clear coated when I had it. When my painter screwed up and painted it, I made him strip it and re-clear coat it. The person who currently owns the bike.
Right.
It's painted red.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's carbon fiber Rhino fender, dude.
Right? That's like putting, you know what? That's like putting a parka on a supermodel.
Yeah, exactly.
It just misses the
so
point
who's
entirely.
Who's got what trick stuff this year in the offseason?
Tony's laughing. That made me happy right there. Kawasaki. Good. God bless you people over there in Kawasaki land. They have a winter test edition ZX10 out. I think it's a matte black.
As in, people can buy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a replica. It's the matte black or a flat-ish black with just white logos and white stripes on a snowflake, and it's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous, and it looks like the bike that they do their winter tests with. You know, I swear to God, Honda's missing a trick here. Put out a copy of any of their
Honda can't come up with a paint scheme to look good for the last 10 years.
Oh my God.
What the hell happened?
Well, they're actually, I really like the new CBR 600 in the white and black.
Okay.
That's a really nice one. But I'm telling you, carbon fiber bodywork, orange wheels. You couldn't keep them in the shop.
Bruce Lind had that paint scheme
but that was,
for 100 years. You know what I was watching the other day?
Well, you were
the 1991 Formula USA TV program.
Ah, how cool!
From the Seattle weekend.
Right.
And I was there. And Bruce Lind comes from the back of the 600 Supersport race on his F2.
His Goof 2.
And wins.
Yeah!
passing Dale Kiefer on the last lap.
How did you watch that?
On Facebook, some link, and it was there. I'm like, holy shit, I was there. I want to see if I was. They didn't cover the endurance race, so it didn't show me. And that was one of the years we had the R6 with the blown up all the time. But then I saw this, and I had him say, Bruce Lind. And he was 45 at the time, and Kiefer's like 12 or something, right? I don't know, 20-something.
Bruce Lind was 45. Was it 1930? What?
It was a long time ago.
It was a while back.
Not dragging his knee, nothing. just kicking their butts. Hey, so we got a question emailed to us from, Brian.
Brian Hirschfeld. Yeah, our buddy Brian.
And he wanted to ask about spec class racing.
Right,
and he brought up, like, the Aprilia Cup, and then he's talking about the KTM and the 500 Honda. And, you know, he's saying, we should see more of this. Why don't we? Here's the problem. Riders are idiots. Right? They all have their fantasy of the thing that they want to do to their bike. And spec, you know, limits that down. And then they're like, I don't want to do spec because I can't have my rear sets, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And then they just don't even consider it. They have some idea in their head that spec is bad and spec is stupid and whatever. They want to pretend they're in Superbike. Right, so they can build a super bike, and then they go enter super bike with their super sport bike,
and then they get their butts kicked and wonder what's happening.
Exactly.
Right. No, I totally get it. The challenge is now there are some people that this makes sense for, people who have like long-standing relationships with a manufacturer or something like that. Like if you've only run on Pirelli tires,
really. Name how many people these days are in that category?
That's a handful.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Granted, that's a handful. But sometimes those are the guys who are building bikes. So, It's got to be. Here's your other problem, okay? Honda doesn't really care about selling another 25 CBR500s.
Well, that's true for all of them. No.
For KTM or
KTM, it mattered.
Or Aprilia back in the day, it mattered. Yeah. You know, they could sell an extra 25 of these bikes.
Yeah, they weren't selling any.
Ka-ching, right?
Yeah. So it's a marketing thing, and there's multiple problems, multiple difficulties, mm-hmm. and there's the rare occasion where it works.
Yeah.
And it tends to work for not too long.
And it's got to be a relatively small manufacturer, and it's got to be one particular bike that people perceive to be cool. The reason that it worked with the Aprilia Cup bike is that people perceived that bike to be cool. And and it wasn't a TZ.
Have to be perceived to be cool, because nobody perceived the CBR 125 to be cool.
I did.
And in the Honda Canada series worked awesomely.
Yeah.
You have to have commitment from a manufacturer.
Yes.
Because this kind of thing won't start by three or four guys doing it and then it grows on its own like a normal class. It has to be boom from the beginning.
You know, there's spec, but Brian, he raises a good point, because there's spec racing all over the world. Kawasaki now has a 300 class in Canada. I'm so happy. I finally get to use this word on the podcast, Ed. Underbone.
That's not a word.
Yes, it is.
And
it made me happy to say it. It's one word. It's the term for a chassis construction that's basically like a step-through scooter. And if you watch the Asia Road Race series, the one with the 600, the one that Noriyuki Haga is riding in now, one of the support classes is 115cc underbone class. They call it the underbone class.
Yeah, I'm not going to race Vespas.
But dude, you should see him. It's like, you don't win, you don't eat. I swear to God, I think I saw a guy pull a chain out of his leathers last time. It was freaking awesome, man. But they have these spec classes all over. There's a spec class for a naked 800cc four-cylinder.
They have them all over, but not in America.
No.
You know why?
Why?
Too many stupid racers in America.
I'm sorry, I thought you said they were idiots.
Let's use Brian as an example.
Okay? Why, is Brian an idiot?
Well,
no, he's not an idiot. He wrote to us.
Brian loves us. Brian, in this email that he wrote to us, which makes him a genius, is talking about spec class. Okay,
even though Brian has not brought us any Hickory Farms.
What kind of motorcycle does Brian have? Brian is as far away from a spec bike as he can get. Brian, you want spec racing? Participate in the classes that exist, dude.
What kind of bike does he have?
Oh, Brian
brought that TZ that somebody cut the frame up a big notch into a TC frame. You can see how angry I am about this. And put in a fucking quad engine. Okay? Not even a dirt bike engine.
It is a
quad engine.
Oh my God.
I should not have asked.
It was great, man. You start that thing up near an airport and people will yell at you. Hey, we can't hear the jets taking off. That bike is awesome. That thing is a beast, Holmes. Where are we at? What are we doing on time?
18 minutes.
18 minutes.
Well,
what?
You know,
clarification. Hold on. Go ahead.
Speaking about the two-minute board, somehow when I was listening to all your podcasts, I perceived that there's this big light thing up here with, you know, countdown of the time.
Yeah, like we got a studio.
Us? Dude.
And then when you get to two minutes, it starts flashing.
No. What happens is, this little tape recorder? It has a little timer on it.
Which has
18,
no tape
19.
On it.
Well, wait a minute. Let's cut that part out. We don't want the audience to know.
We told them before. Please. How many times have we had to pick up our reading glasses to look at the clock?
If this podcast was a motorcycle, it would have drum brakes, bias-ply tires, and a magneto.
Back when men were men,
my whole image
tires
is blown of the podcast.
So check it out. You're zooming along on your leader bike.
Right.
You're going through turn 7 into turn 8 at Big Willow.
I don't ride leader bikes.
That's because you're smart. Okay, and you're pushing on the handlebar for 1 second.
Right.
And you're pushing with 40 pounds of force. You're pushing really hard. You're straining. Okay.
Right.
This is a follow-up on our early talk about how gyroscopic precession countersteer work.
Okay.
So for your experiment, what you're going to do next time is you're going to push with 20 pounds of force for the same amount of time. And you're going to find out that the bike changes direction just as quickly as it did before. The extra 20 pounds does nothing except tire you out. You are causing you to feel like it's hard to make your bike change direction because you're pushing too hard. You're pushing into the part where the gyro is pushing back.
But you've said
this
before.
I want to clarify. I haven't said it exactly this way.
Ah.
I said it's more important how long you push, not how hard.
Got it.
Okay? And then you were saying, but it's still hard.
Yes.
And so then I came up with this thing. It's how long you push. You guys are already pushing long enough. Just stop pushing the extra hard
and
part.
And the other thing, too, that I remember I told you what
whatever
happened?
He has to say, just try
no,
what
no,
I
no.
told you.
Remember what else I told you? I got stuck there without the right tire, so I had to put a fatter tire on.
And well, Michael always has some that kind was, of other that was, mitigating
there's always
circumstance.
There's always a mitigating
okay?
circumstance.
I'm
How do
just
you think
working
I've survived
to
this
find
long?
A way to express
oh
to people
God.
In a way they will understand.
Is this over yet? What time is it?
It's time for the two-minute board.
Time for the two-minute board. Okay, this is the last and final word on the whole 2015 MotoGP season. We're into 2016 now, and
dude, they're going to be talking about this season 20 years from now. So claim what you will. Maybe this will be the last comment from us about it.
Probably. Here's what I read on the interweb, so it must be true. Okay.
Yes.
You know how all the riders follow each other on Twitter?
I did not know that.
Yes. Valentino Rossi has stopped following Lorenzo and Marquez.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope so, since he's calling them names left, right, and center.
Jesus Christ, talk about third grade. Come on, right? I mean, jeez. But he's still...
That's all you got
he's
for
still
a two-minute board?
He's still... No, I got more, but
no,
we don't want to talk about
that one.
You don't want to talk about that one. Yeah. It's a little uncomfortable. That's a very uncomfortable topic for everybody involved, right? Hey, he's Ed Sorbo.
He's Michael Gugis. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Who are
I'm
you?
I'm Tony Sarah.
Tony
Aloha.
Sarah. Aloha.